Academy for Educators, online professional development for teachers and leaders, online courses, modules, and micro-credential programs for teachers to enhance their skill sets. Now featuring the Instructional Coaching Micro-Credential, including 5 online modules framed around the work of Steve Barkley. Learn, grow, inspire. AcademyForEducators.org.
Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For over 3 decades, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. I invite you to listen as I explore my thoughts and learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading with some of the best and brightest educators from around the globe. Thanks for listening in. Coach-principal partnership number 1. This is going to be the first in a series of interviews that I'm going to conduct with instructional coaches and principals around their partnership. I'd like to collect many examples for the listeners, both as coaches and administrators, to consider your partnership and modifications or changes you might want to make based on things you hear that others have done. Exciting that the folks I'm talking to today are part of the Reading Coach program in Hillsborough County, Florida. And I have personally had the pleasure of working with the Reading Coach program from its onset 20 years ago. I've had the chance each summer to be part of training the cadre there. So joining us today, we have Ayana Etine from Silver Springs. She's the coach, and Mark Gaylard, the principal. They're both at Silver Springs K-8 school. So welcome and to both of you. And would you take a moment or two to give a little short introduction about your backgrounds? And I understand that you had worked together before. You worked out in other buildings, and you're both new to being back at Silver Springs now. So fill us in on a little bit of your background.
Of course, I'm Mark Gaylard, the principal here at Silver Springs K-8. I was a classroom teacher for about 7 years, assistant principal for another 7. And I pretty much taught 4th and 5th grade math and science. We taught writing as well in my math and science departmentalized group. And then about 7 years as an assistant principal. And then the last 4 as a principal. Of course, this is I moved to Silver Springs in April. So I've been here about 5 or 6 months. Ms. Etienne and I worked when I was an administrative resource teacher for 1 year, and it was her first year teaching at Just Elementary. And then we were at Edison Elementary for some years as me as an assistant principal. And then she left and then came back when I became principal. So here we are now in my 21st year here at Silver Springs K-8 as the principal.
And I, just like he said, my first year teaching was at Just Elementary. I did a career change, actually. So I met Mr. Gaylard at Just for a year. Then I finished out my years teaching at Witter. And then when he became principal or assistant principal at Edison, I went and I was the reading coach there. And shortly after that, about 2 years later, I went to Sulphur Springs. When he got appointed principal, and I had told him, I said, I'd come back when you become principal. And I promised I came back. And when he found out that he was leaving to come to Silver Springs, I figured I've been there before. Why not? When you find a good administrator, you kind of stick with them. So I said, you're not going to leave me. I'm coming after you.
That's great. So we have a partnership with some roots, huh? Yeah. Is what it sounds like. Mark, I'm wondering, could you fill us in just a little bit of the background of Silver Springs K-8 school, a little bit about your student population and the way the school works with the K-8 setting?
Pretty much, we're predominantly African American, about 85%, about 13% Hispanic. And then we have about 2% that are Caucasian. the campus is split into two halves. You have the elementary on the south end and the middle school on the north end. I have two APs on the elementary side. I have pretty much two APs on the middle school side as well. All traditional school. It's a neighborhood school, a school that historically has been very challenging, probably one of the lowest socioeconomic neighborhoods in Tampa, if not the lowest. And so that, you know, we have different challenges that come along with that. But overall, that's the gist of our school. Oh, we also have a partnership with YMCA. So they're here on our campus and they provide different supports. For during school, they have IREs, and then after school, they have different activities that after school program that is here.
And Ayana, your coaching role, is it across the whole school?
No. So right now we're at a three coach site. So on the middle school side, we have the secondary reading coach. And then I have a partner coach. The two of us support elementary school.
So one of the questions I'd like to start with is, how have the two of you presented the role of the coach to the staff at the school?
Pretty much that every teacher will go through a coaching cycle on the elementary side. The coach is one that is very knowledgeable, that you should be ensuring that there's time where the reading coach is playing with the teachers. And the expectation is that you will ensure that you are playing an active role in the planning process and you growing professionally. And the reading coach is a key component of that.
And every year at the beginning of the school year, whether our previous site as well as this year, we provide a presentation where the coach, I'm again, two coach sites, so myself and the other reading coach team up together, and we provide a mini PD where we explain our role as a coach and what that looks like, what that means. We also explain the planning process and what that and how that works, but we can't do the work that we do without his support and with our admin to be able to say, this is the expectation. And I know at the end of the school year, when everybody signs their intent to return forms coming back to the school for the following school year, on those forms are coaching cycles, that knowing that they are going to be a part of that process.
To what extent is your work kind of laid out and led by you versus to what extent is it driven by teacher request to you?
It evolves over time. Right now I'm in a scenario where I'm at a new school. So it's pretty much split, where I'm kind of seeking out opportunities through data conversations or those informal discussions with teachers to get them interested in being coached or getting them a part of the process. In previous years, again, we're not being new, you know, having that ongoing routine. It's a lot of the teachers coming and seeking out that support and just pretty much being there to provide that as a sounding board and then coming in as that other layer to collect that data for those teachers.
Mark, I'm wondering if you could talk about the expectations that you have you have several coaches that you're working with. So how do you describe what your expectations are of coaches?
My expectations for the coaches is that they will be in the classroom, that they will provide professional development during our PD Tuesdays where the whole staff is together, making sure that they are in plan, that they plan with the teachers by grade level, and being a facilitator more than dictating everything, and ensuring that they push in the classes and periodically assist as well with the growth of students in small groups.
Ayanna, I'm wondering, what expectations do you have of the administrator for you to be effective in your role as a coach?
One is communication, I think, is completely vital to this position. Having that regular discussion piece, whether I go and attend my whole group professional development and have that open door where I can come back and converse with him about what it is that we need to do in our agenda with reading, with regards to, I mean, we're in the position now that we have state visits and walkthroughs and you name it, and just having the constant dialogue with each other, I think, is very important. And that openness and the ability to understand what it is that we're doing, the work that we're trying to do to move the school, I think is definitely key.
Do you have a fixed time that you connect back with each other to kind of debrief where you are, or is it more an open door and on the fly?
It's more of an open door on the fly because there's so many moving pieces with the with this school in particular that we try and then it gets cut. But I mean, there's usually not a day that goes by that we don't communicate in one way, shape, or form, whether it's via email, via text. He pops by. He knows times that we're in there, whether like for our planning times, or whether it's lunch and he pops in and has a quick second and we debrief really quickly. But it's constant. And I never feel like what we're doing doesn't matter. I never feel like he's not concerned or always checking in, because that's the one thing that I think that he really values is checking in with his people and making sure everything's all copacetic and making sure that everybody's needs are met. And I think, you know, that really makes it easy for us to not have that, you know, every Friday at 2 p.m. we're going to sit down together. It's just constantly and ongoing. Yeah, as simple as a text message, hey, can I chat real quick? And he'll pop right up, you know.
And I would say that was the case where we came from.
Yes.
We had a locked in time that we would be with leadership, but leadership was much smaller there. I only had 5 or 6 people on that were resourced, and here is like double that. So being able to have that time is just different this year with so many other moving parts going on, really working on the culture and climate here. But because we worked together for so long, I know how she operates and she updates me, and she already knows, oh, I know how Mr. Gellar, what he would decide on this, because we worked together and communicated so often together. And there's never a time that she can't talk to me, whether it's after school, during school. It really doesn't matter. But that's when you have an established relationship, a great professional relationship. Things can work easier in that manner.
Well, we do have where we've got all the contents that come together at our leadership, like on once a week on Mondays. But I know that that's challenging with so many different content areas from K through 8. So that's where we have our offline piece too.
So I'm hearing a great deal of trust exists between the two of you, both in your expectations of each other and respect for each other. I'm wondering if you'd have some advice for principals and instructional coaches who are new to working with each other. What exists early on that allows you to build that sense of trust, and I guess a common message goes out to the staff as well.
Right. I start with my portion, just making sure that you communicate, have set time schedule for you to get updates weekly, because that's what we did early on in our, you know, working together. And because I was an assistant principal, a lot of things came through me. So that's where Ayanna and I worked really a lot together and established that strong a foundation. And then having someone who is knowledgeable of their craft. And when you know and you see that through the movement of the data, that has what has created our relationship. And I'll turn it over to Ayana, to add to that?
I think one of the major factors in building that trust with an administrator is doing what you say and mean what you say. I take pride in my work, and if I've got my calendar, my schedule, and what I'm going to do, he knows I'm going to be there. There's been multiple times where I'm sitting in the classroom collecting data, and then I go to the next classroom. He's following behind me because he's doing his walkthroughs, and he sees I'm actively doing my job. There's not a big lag of downtime at all. Like he can come into planning sessions and know that I'm actively working, and I think that's where the trust begins. And also listening to the buzz from the teachers, and the teachers being able to say and talk to the work that I'm doing, or to the reinforcing some of the things and the practices that we've put into place together, and hearing that buzz allows him to be able to say, okay, I know she's in there doing the work with the teachers alongside them. So I think that builds that trust and that respect.
So I'm going to end with a quote that I appreciate you responding to. I took it from Jim Knight, and Jim Knight made this statement: a principal's support or lack of it can make or break a coaching program. How would you respond to that?
Yes.
from the coach's seat?
Yes. I mean, I've worked for a couple of principals, and I know for a fact that that relationship really can make or break what you do. And having his support and having his trust to allow me to do the work that needs to be done really helps our teachers grow professionally, but more importantly, help our children succeed. We've seen, I mean, we were at the school and we went from an F to a D to a C. Like, we've shown the progress, we've shown the work and proven that it can be done, providing we have all of our factors align, everybody working together collaboratively, and having, again, that rapport and that trust, that support, coupled with that, allows us to do what we need to do to move students.
And I would just piggyback off that, going to the, you know, they say the data doesn't lie. And every time Ms. Etienne has been a part, have improved, and at a steady pace that is reasonable. And that's what I love about it. Nothing like this huge jump and then you drop, but building that professional development, interacting, being prepared when she, when she's going to the planning sessions, and always being present for teachers. And the teachers know that she, whatever resource she needs to provide, if she doesn't know a resource, she's reaching out to her peers. And that is a big part of why I wanted her back when I became principal, because I know you need, if you have a quality resource team around you, your children are impacted. And more importantly, the teachers feel supported and see, have a vision and a goal, because it, through the principal and the reader coach, understanding that we are in alignment, and she does that. Hey, she keeps me more in line than I keep her in line.
Well, it's interesting, as quickly as she responded to that fact that the principal can make it or break it, that does put a lot of responsibility back on the principal of a school to see the coaching program as an investment in your building, and therefore your need to support that investment.
Yes.
Well, I thank the two of you. I really appreciate your time and your words here today. Have a great day.
Thanks,
you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks again for listening. You can subscribe to Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud on iTunes and Podbean, and please remember to rate and review us on iTunes. I also want to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.